Welcome back. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode on the On Jaded podcast because I'm going to be answering questions that came in over the course of workshop week. So I have five questions here that I'm going to try to get to in a fairly succinct manner. And all of these questions are based around creating content using your human design.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Okay, question number one. I'm offering free sessions to get people into my world, but nobody has hired me yet. Should I change my approach? I've been doing this for almost a year. So this was a clarifying question that I asked this person because I want to know, is this something new for you? Is this something that you've been doing for a while? Because it matters. We have to let things breathe a little bit. We have to let things be out in the ethers a little bit before we go changing them, right? Ask me how I know this as a manifesting generator. But anyway, knowing that she has been doing it for almost a year and that people are not hiring her, I would say that this isn't maybe the best strategy in her content. So what I don't love about free is that when we offer so many free trainings, free calls, discovery calls, all of these things without an end goal in mind, and here's how we can work together moving forward, then people sometimes don't need to hire us because we just deliver all the goods in that one free thing, or they don't understand how we could help them because we've been really vague in our session. Or, you know, this is something that I've had happen to me personally where I go into something where someone promises a benefit, you know, come to this 15-minute session and you'll walk away with three things that you can start using in your human design today to create content that lands. And then you get into the call and they don't deliver on that. Instead, they talk about what they can help you with, how you can hire them to work with them, all of these things, and you don't really get any meat out of it. So that leaves you kind of feeling like, is this person really going to be a good fit? Because they didn't deliver what they said they were going to do. So a few things around this. One, I don't think that more free content necessarily always leads to someone wanting to pay you. Two, if you promise to deliver free content, then actually deliver that content. Deliver the transformation. Doesn't have to be a big win. It doesn't have to be 17 things that someone can take away from this conversation with you. It can be one thing. One thing that they can actually use and get a win on, because then when they get that win, they're going to be more motivated to hire you. Third thing, you want to very clearly be able to say, sure, and this is how we can work together moving forward, and not give them 16 different ways that they can work with you moving forward, right? One or two ways, like you can do this or you can do this. It's really helpful if you have a human design business and you know their type and strategy, because then you can frame your questions. You know, if you've got a generator type on the call with you, you're going to ask them a yes or no question. If you have a non-sacral being with you, you're going to ask them a more open-ended question. You're going to give them more choices. So a generator question might be, is now the right time for you to tackle this in your business? Do you know if there's a better time for you to tackle this in your business? Does it feel like this is the right offer for you? You know, just yes or no questions. You can ask them in a series, but just one question at a time, whereas someone who's non-sacral is going to be able to answer meatier, more open-ended questions. If you know their human design, if you don't know their human design, don't worry about it. But if you're a human design practitioner, you're listening to this, that's like a secret weapon that you can have in your back pocket, right? So those are three of the things that I would really consider if you're thinking of going into this. Actually, I'm going to do a little bonus answer on this as well, because so many times I see people who are starting their businesses or who have had a business for a while and aren't getting paid clients. It's same, right? And you keep providing free stuff without having an offer behind it. So, you know, you think that you're going to create something on the fly. You think that you're going to be able to be in a container with this person and, you know, a conversation with this person. And you're going to be able to say, well, we could do coaching for 6 weeks, or we could do this, or we could do that, you know, and you're making it up as you go along. Whereas if you have, I guess this relates to point number three too, but if you have a really, really clear, these are the ways that I work, and a link ready to send them when they want to hire you, all of these things. I think that sometimes we go into these free things, especially those of us with an undefined will. You could go into these things, these conversations, feeling like, oh, I hope she hires me. Oh, I wonder if I could do it for that price. Oh, I wonder if, whereas if it's all set up beforehand and you have a clear plan of action, then that's the best way to do it. So that was a very long answer. The short answer to I'm offering free sessions to get people into my world, but nobody has hired me yet. Should I change my approach? I've been doing this almost a year. Yes, you should absolutely change your approach. In my world, I always find that there's something about having skin in the game. I would much rather create, you know, a masterclass that's $27 than a free masterclass. Because the people who join for the free masterclass, I mean, we all do it, right? I do it too. Oh, I'll catch the replay. Whereas if you've paid money to be there, you'll be there. So yes, there are times where we want to have conversations with people. And yes, we can love on our people and give and give and give and give and give. And we also need a way to get paid. I would look at changing this strategy a little bit, either to offering this particular person as a human design business. So, you know, maybe offering a mini reading for a trial, maybe offering a little written report based on whatever pain point it is that she solves for her people. But something where there's a minimal exchange of money, where it gets her paid, because your business isn't a hobby. You're not here to just teach and teach and teach and teach and teach in your content. Question number two. I'm a generator. Can I scroll online to find something to respond to? Hell to the yes. Yes, you can do that. So one of the things that I see generators and manifesting generators kind of getting wrong in their business is that you're so afraid that the universe won't give you something to respond to. It's like you're actively looking for things to respond to. And what I would love for you to ask yourself is, what if this were easy? If this were easy, how would I go about my day? Because the universe wants to conspire with you as a generator type. There's no way that you could get through a whole day and not have things to respond to. Like, there's no way. It just wouldn't happen. So another thing I think that we get stuck on as generator types is that we can say, you know, we have a block in our calendar that says, I need to create 10 social media posts in this 2-hour block of time. And then we sit down and we're staring at a blank screen and we're like, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to say. Oh my God, how can I get started? And, you know, we waste a lot of time. We distract ourselves. So if you're scrolling for that reason, then maybe not. I think it's a better strategy. I know it's a better strategy for us to create in the moment. So as a generator type, you should, and I hate that word, you know, I hate that word, but you should always have a way to collect your responses with you. So whether you have a little notebook in your purse, whether you speak it into your phone, whether you write it into your phone in your notes section, whatever it is that you do, I love Trello for this. And just keep a note of when you're in response, because sometimes you can't take the time, especially like if you're like me and it takes you 12 tries and 2 hours to create a 7-second reel on Instagram. You can't always like stop what you're doing when you're in response. And you may not remember that thing that you responded to later. But if you jot it down, if you make yourself a voice memo in your phone, then you can go back to it. And then when it's time to sit down and create 2 hours worth of content, you can go back to your list of things that you responded to and you'll respond again. And if you don't respond again to it, if you're like, oh, what was I talking about there? Don't worry about it. It's not for you at this time. Don't worry about it. But scrolling online can be a good thing. What I like to do if I mean, I love to get out. I have a markets environment. I'm a human design as well as being a manifesting generator. So I love to get out and about. I think your environment is a big key to your creative process. And this is something we talk about in the Content by Design course all the time. But aside from that, if I can't get out, I will say, okay, I'm going to set a timer for 10 minutes and I'm just going to go online. But really trying to not be attached to, I need to find something to respond to. Just be with it. Just be with it. If this were easy, how does the universe want to communicate with me? So yes, scrolling can be a good strategy if you're allowing it to be easy. Because when we look for things to respond to as manifesting generators and generators, we miss the magic that the universe has for us. Question number three. I'm a manifesting generator. How can I stick to one offer? I'm in a course right now and she has us creating one offer and one funnel. Well, sir, I'm going to tell you that you probably can't stick to one offer if you're a manifesting generator. Yes, you can have a baseline offer, a signature offer in your business. Absolutely. But remember that as a manifesting generator, you are uniquely designed to do more than one thing at once. You are the consummate multitasker. That's what you're here for. You're here to always find the most efficient ways to do things. And chances are the most efficient way to do something in your business is not by having one funnel, one offer, blah, 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 blah. It's so boring. It's so boring. So I will use my example because it's my lived experience. Right now, I'm launching the Content by Design course. The card is open now, and then we start on April 22nd. And this is a repeat of that course. It is the signature offer in my world. And at the same time, I'm introducing a start your business little incubator for people who are just starting out and need to get everything set up in their business. Now, someone else might look in my business. I mean, every business coach I've ever hired who is not human design informed would look into my business and say, oh my God, you can't do two things at once. Your audience won't get it. You know, blah, 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 blah. It's too much for you to do, but I need something to be excited about. And I love the Content by Design course, and it excites me so much once people are in the room with me. Once I have things to respond to, once we're working on their content, I absolutely love it. But the part where, okay, I've done this before, and everything is set up and in place and ready to just bring people into my world. Honestly, for me personally, I can get really bored with that. And I'm not here to be bored as a manifesting generator. And if you're a manifesting generator, you're not here to be bored. The magic for you and the magic for your audience is in what's alive for you right now. What feels magical to you right now? So you want to always be giving yourself things to respond to in your business and in your launches. If you've got a signature program and it's just running on autopilot, that might not light you up enough as a manifesting generator. So how can you give yourself more things to satisfy you? Remember that your signature as a generator and manifesting generator is to feel satisfaction. I always picture Mick Jagger singing that song, I can't get no satisfaction. If I'm not getting no satisfaction in my business, if I'm not feeling lit up in my business as a manifesting generator, then I am doing you, my audience member, a disservice. Because when I am lit up and on fire, I will bring those offers with an intensity that cannot be matched. And that's how my business stays alive. So back to the question, I get up on a soapbox, don't I? I'm a manifesting generator. How can I stick to one offer? I don't think that you can, nor do I think that you should as a manifesting generator. I think that having a signature offer can be a good strategy, and that you always want to give yourself a few times to repeat an offer as long as it's worked. I mean, if it completely bombed, then we need to look at why did it bomb and what can we change and all those things. But if it's an offer that's selling in your business and can continue to sell, by all means, get that funnel and everything set up. By all means, keep bringing people into it. And how can you create excitement and things to respond to as you go through with that program, with other things in your business, because you're designed to do more than one thing. And remember, as a manifesting generator, not everything you do has to make you money. Some of the things are just to kind of zhuzh up your sacral and keep you going. Okay, question number 4. Oh, I love this question. I'm afraid that if I start sharing who I really am, I'm a 3-5, people will think I'm a mess. I feel you. Like, I have tears in my eyes right now, partly because I'm coming into my wave, my emotional wave and my human design, but also partly because we talked about this. I had a podcast hot seat, human design hot seat coaching session with someone who is a 3-5, and we compared how my granddaughter Sawyer is a 3-5 profile. And to see her show up in her life, she's almost 4, to see her show up in her life with reckless abandon as her 3-5 self is so much fun. Like another podcast guest that I had referred to this as unhinged, 3-5s as unhinged. And as a 3-5, you're going to get it wrong more often than you get it right. This particular person who said this question is a 3-5 manifesting generator. Well, I mean, holy hell. Like, manifesting generators, I feel like we walk around half the time with people thinking, what the hell is she doing now? Like, can she not just settle in? She's crazy. And we do miss things. We miss things so often, and there's so much shame around that in our culture. And then as a 3-5 on top of that, so just as a reminder, as a third line profile, you run fast and break things. You're here to go down every hole. You know, you're walking down a road that has all these potholes in it, and you're here to go down every hole and discover what's in there and get covered in muck most of the time, so that you can talk to your community about it, so that you can tell people about it, so that you can share your experience. You are the ultimate experiential learner. And the fifth line has that heretic. The fifth line has that really unique way of looking at life. And you're the karmic mirror. You are the square peg that everyone is trying to fit into a round hole, and you're just never going to fit in that round hole. So to see a 4-year-old show up completely in her 3-5 self as this magical, like, she doesn't give two hoots what anyone thinks. You know, she's riding on her scooter through the kitchen, one leg lifted high in the air, and like, we can all see that she's going to crash, but she has to crash to learn it for herself. And you have to do that as a 3-5 in your business as well. And when you do, and when you bring us on for the ride, it's magical. It's magical in your content, but there is so much shame for you around your third line, around making all of the mistakes, around trying too many things. You know, I had a projector in one of my programs, and she was a 3-5 profile, and she had a defined will. So if you're a projector with a defined will, 3-5 profile, chances are you show up more as a manifesting generator in your life. It's just a phenomenon that I see in my clients. And here she is with this focused and penetrating aura as a projector, and yet she's tried thing after thing after thing after thing in her business and in her career. And she feels like she's getting it wrong more than she's getting it right, which doesn't feel very projectory, right? Because projectors are the guides and the lighthouses and here to be wise and all of those things. But how she garners her wisdom in life is through that third line experience, is through how she learns through her experience so that she can share it with her community. So back to the question, I'm afraid that if I start sharing who I really am as a 3-5 profile, people will think I'm a mess. I'm going to say that you will draw more people in through the mess that you think your life is than you will through trying to make it look perfect to everyone else. I'm going to say that people will relate more to your mistakes, and please understand that I'm putting that in air quotes, than they ever will to you telling them, hey, this is how you can do it perfectly. Hey, this is, like, they don't want to hear that from you. I'm sorry. They just don't want to hear that from you. They need to hear about the muck of it. They need to hear about your life experience, and they need to hear about your mistakes in order to come and work with you. And if you missed day 3 of the workshop week on the Unjaded podcast, you can go back and grab that episode. I think it's episode 48. I'll link it in the show notes for you. It is all about how to use your human design profile in your content. So revisit that episode and then write a piece of content trying to reframe it through, or rewrite a piece of content you've already done, trying to reframe it through the lens of that third line profile. It will be so much more magical. And you know what? It's going to feel so much more alive in you when you don't have to censor yourself and hide the best part of yourself. Your profile is who you are here to be. It's the role that you play in the movie of your life. So you can't show up as someone different and bring people into your world who are the right people for you, who are going to hire you, who are going to pay you money to help them transform their lives. So that's it. We got through. Oh, no. Question number 5. I wrote a powerful post in response, and now I'm afraid that it's too much. I can't post it right now because the person that I wrote it in response to will know that it's about them. Oh, this is the classic generator, manifesting generator thing. And I want you to know that I do this too. I feel your pain because on social media, you know, you get something to respond to, or someone messages you, or you see something online and you're like, oh my God, how can they be doing it that way? And you have this visceral response. You can feel it in your sacral. Your body is lit up to respond to this. And you write something and then you're like, oh, but if I say it right now, she'll think it's about her. And there's a fine line with this. So we have all, I think, had the experience where we said something or did something online and someone wrote a passive aggressive post afterwards that you know it's about you. And you're like, why didn't she just say it to me? So you don't ever want to do that. Please don't be that person. That's not being a good human at all. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is you respond to something, you know, someone sends you a DM. Of course, you're going to keep their identity secret. You're never going to share, you know, who said something or anything like that. But they send you a DM or you see something on their feed or something is alive in you to respond. So how do you do that in a way that it's going to land and that it's not going to sound preachy and that that person is not going to feel wrong? One of the things is that you go to your Trello board or your notes in your phone or your voice memo app or whatever it is, and you create something then and you let it breathe for a little while. You let it sit there and you know that it's going to, you know, you put it in your content scheduler for a couple of weeks from now. And the thing is, if one person is asking you something or saying something, then at least 10 people want to know. So it doesn't have to be about that one person, but you want to capture it when you actually are in response. And I always find that the thing that needs to be said the most, the thing that wants to come out of you the most, is always the thing that you like, I'm putting my hands on my throat. And that's the thing that needs to be said the most. But you have all of this judgment around what are people going to think, so you hold it back. So that's one trick, is that you can just pop it in your idea board, pop it into your social media scheduler to run, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, and just trust that the energy that you brought to that post in response is going to show up when you post it, because it absolutely will. Another thing that you could do is that you could message the person and say, hey, I would love to respond to this in a piece of content for my whole audience. Are you okay with me talking about this online and not mentioning your name? 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, yes, I want you to answer this. So don't answer them in the DM. Instead, ask them if you can respond in a piece of content. And then that becomes something that you can use in your business. You know, maybe you record a podcast episode on it. That's evergreen content. Maybe you write a blog post about it. That's evergreen content. Maybe you write a social media post that can be turned into something else. There's so many ways that you could do this. And then finally, you could just post it. And a line that I see people use a lot is, Hey, I'm getting lots of questions around this, so I thought I would do a little mini training on it. Hey, this has come up a few times in my work this week, so I thought I would do a little training on it. So you don't have to make it about just that one person. You can put a different lens on it, a bigger, a wider lens on it, so that people understand that it's not just them, that they're not alone in it. So hopefully that one helps you out if you are worried about your response being a little bit too harsh or a little bit too intimidating for someone. And that's a wrap. We made it through 5 questions. Now, I do have a few other questions to answer, so I will wait until I get a few more in and do another one of these Q&A episodes on content based on workshop week. If you're just now going through workshop week, don't worry. There's no such thing as behind. You can catch up anytime that it works for you. That's the beauty of podcasts. And you can always send me your homework on Instagram. If you've downloaded the workbook, you'll have all of the information that you need. You can send me your homework and I will take a look at it. You can send me your questions. All of the good stuff is linked in the show notes for you. Remember that life, business, the whole world is going to kick you around. It's going to condition you. It's going to try to put a filter on you and censor your voice. Your job in your content is to stay unjaded and show up as fully as you can be.